Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Big thank you to today's sponsor, Canva. Canva Pro is an easy-to-use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. Whether you're a professional designer or just getting started, Canva Pro can help boost you and your team's productivity and creativity. It's quick, easy, and affordable way to design whatever you need. For me personally, as somebody who is well-knowledged in creating things like this, Canva is a great time saver. I don't have the time like I used to sit down in my editing software and put together a perfectly presented graphic. It's just not something I have time for anymore. Luckily, Canva Pro has everything that I and you need in one place, including a collection of over 75 million premium photos, videos, audio, and graphics. You can very quickly put together exactly what you need and you're envisioning in your mind. You get all this and more in just one Canva Pro subscription. There's no idea too big or too small for Canva Pro. Design like a pro with Canva right now. You can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/chill and get your free 45-day extended trial. That's over a month. That's canva.me/chill. canva.me/chill. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 94. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, drumming my two other co-hosts, Jesse Cox and Alex Fasciane. The boys from the West.
The boys from the West?
The boys. That's the coolest thing anybody's ever said to describe us as a pair.
that's what I do.
So mysterious.
I try to pick the most vague, obvious thing about you, and I apply it as your descriptor.
Beautiful.
What's a good segue?
What's a Alex? Good segue? You're trying to get us into the shilling, right, aren't you?
How about this? If you want to have the show on the air every week, head over to patreon.com/chilluminatipod, where you can support our show. You can make our show even better than it already is. You can add to the legend of the Chilluminati, and you get plenty of cool stuff in return. Art, pre-sale on merch, you get access to the Discord, all kinds of dope shit. Go do it. patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
And what now, about our world famous, look, I gotta help, what about our world famous other show we do?
The mini-sode? Yeah. It's so famous that I didn't even talk about it. But yeah, that's right. In 15 minutes, chunks, we are bringing back sexy 15 minutes at a time.
Ooh, what?
Every time you're done listening to the Chilluminati podcast, 15 more minutes of it exists, where we talk about current events. Those things that you always tweet us about, that's where we talk about it. So go find it. Go listen to it. Check it out. And now I'm going to effortlessly segue back to the rest of the episode. There you go.
I got to shill a tiny bit more because the time of this episode going up, we have a huge sale happening over at theyeti.com/collection/Chilluminati. 30% off the stuff that's going to be coming out of the store. We're basically wiping out what's left, and we're going to have new stuff going up. A new poster, a new t-shirt. The Chupacabra shirt is now going to be a poster, and the Jeff the Mongoose t-shirt will be going up alongside of it. We have pins in the works as well, some new ones. So if you want some of the old merch before it disappears, you get it now.
Do we have a logo pin? Have we just ever made that?
No, we've never made a logo. How do we not have a
logo pin? You guys made Schlorp or whatever the hell, but you didn't make a logo?
We only make pins of important shit.
We have
pin, glow in the dark, that is us. I'd own one of those.
We did logo stickers, and that was like where we kind of stopped.
Yeah,
I'd at least put it, all sorts of stuff. I'd at least put it on my dresser.
Right? Very at least to kind of set it. Exactly.
You're a man of not very many promises.
Where am I going?
I'd at least like, I don't know.
Where am I going that I need to throw a different pin on every day?
I mean, fair. Maybe
what if
just want to, you know,
had a suit and you wore it on your lapel.
It's different when it's your own show. You know, like when you're out somewhere and you're wearing a sick Chiluminati pin and just love the show, you're happy to talk about it. You have no, but when you're like, hey,
but
and then
it's
they're
our
like,
show, what, you're saying it's weird to
it's
identify
weird,
with
then
something
you have
we're
to
on.
Be like, they're like, oh, what's that pin? And you're like, oh, it's this great show that you can support on Patreon. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it's my show. And they're like, oh,
I wouldn't
go.
Say
I
that.
Go.
That's the difference. I would say it's a show yeah. called Chiluminati. I listen to it all the time. Yeah, you guys check it out.
Imagine that's the beginning of a friendship, and then 3 months in, you have to be like, by the way, it was my show.
No, if anything, oh that perfectly God. Encapsulates who I am as a person. They would immediately be like, all right, I know who he
yeah,
is.
I get you. I know I got to kind of hand this off because we got another exciting special episode, but I did want to say one thing. Bit of honeys are still S tier.
S tier.
However, the Boston baked beans are like C tier or lower. I just can't. It's taken a while to get through the box. I was wrong on the Boston baked bean candies. They're really not great.
You think
the
bit
of honeys
honey,
I went through in the whole the whole
bit
in
of
one
honey
day.
Is the
I went
through is
the whole box
S-tier.
In a day.
Right up there with the peanut M&M. Right
it's
up there.
Still.
The Reese's peanut butter cup. We're talking up there with the greats.
I crushed that whole box in like under like 3 hours.
Well,
like
then I gone. Say watermelon Sour Patch Kids are S plus because those are the best candies ever made. Period.
If you want to burn your fucking mouth off.
No way. Watermelon Sour Patch. Those are the best candies.
It's like
period.
When you used to eat Warheads when you were a kid. I should do a Chiluminati on Warheads when you're a kid and if they can really burn a hole through your cheek if you eat all the ones in the pack at once.
The answer is no.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Today is special because we're handing the reins to you. Congratulations, by the way. The Lost Colony of Roanoke is being recommended by college professor now for their history class to listen to. So
yes. We're basically college professors ourselves now.
Damn right. Yeah. Damn
my ego has been fluffed enough that I was like, I gotta do another one of these. That college professor is gonna listen and be like, I've made a mistake. So today is another history's mysteries.
Yes.
One of the things when trying to come up with these and trying to delve through history that I've noticed is there's a lot of things that say, for example, you or Alex will talk about that technically are a history mystery, right? Except the explanations are a little more out there or
laissez-faire, as I say, I like to call them.
Or maybe they didn't happen at all. No one really knows, right? It's like that vibe.
Who,
like,
say,
who knows?
Who can say?
Well, I've decided to make a solid thing for history mysteries that I do that it definitely happened.
I like
so
that.
Like the historical right. record says it definitely happened.
That's what
and
I like.
Today's story is one that is so bizarre, so strange, and it's one of those things where I think most people, when they hear about it, they initially will be like, there's no way. Never happened. This is unbelievable. But it did. And we're going to talk about it today. So, today's trip is going back in time to tell a story that is unsettling. It's creepy. It's totally unbelievable. It is something that we definitely need to talk about on this podcast. It's something that is totally unexplained, but did happen. Now, when we think of the Middle Ages, there's a lot of things that come to mind. Alex, first thing that comes to mind, Middle Ages.
Getting really sick because we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Great. All right. Mathis, Middle Ages.
I'm just going to go with like, you know, sword and shield knights, you know, yeah, kings, yeah. That shit.
Everyone thinks that, right? Kings and knights and epic quests and bloody wars and weird, you know, like poop diseases. And like,
everybody
you know.
Just ate this one meat and then like a town died.
Yeah, yeah, great castles and sweeping countrysides. And that's kind of, Alex, you hit the nail on the head when it comes to exactly what I want to talk about today, because everyone thinks about sort of the upper class of the Middle Ages, but rarely do we think about the peasants who during this time had it bad. Your life was a mess. And today we're focusing on France, especially during the 13th, 14th, and 15th century. 16th century. So from the 1300s to the 1500s. And during this time period, France was in a war with England for, you know, we call it the Hundred Years' War, but it was longer than that. It was primarily fought in France, which led to economic distress and compounded with bad weather and overpopulation and commercial dislocation and famines and all sorts of. It was a bad time to be a peasant. For that period, from the 1300s into almost the 1600s, things were not okay. And so by the time the 1500s rolled around during this, you know, the story we're taking place in, the people of France were definitely over it. And they needed to let loose. And that is where our story begins. So come back with me, if you will, to the Middle Ages, to Strasbourg, France.
What do you do in Strasbourg, France, when you want to let loose, Alex?
You go up, you go look in the sky, and if you see a silver craft, you just get ready for the jizz to fall.
In the scorching summer heat of July 1518, a woman named Frau Trophia or Traufia, I'm not sure how to actually pronounce that, exited her home, stepped out onto the street, and began to dance.
Oh, my God.
She continued dancing and dancing and dancing until she collapsed from exhaustion. When she later awoke, she immediately began dancing again, this time without rest. Onlookers began to clap and cheer, and they were just amused by what is a pretty strange display for this time period. She's just dancing in the street. But it soon took a grim turn, because one day passed, then another day passed, and another day passed, and she kept dancing.
No breaks?
She would sometimes she would pass out and then immediately get back up.
So she literally just danced her ass off every waking moment of her life for like several days.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Things took an even stranger turn when over the course of that first week, 30 additional people from the town joined her. They danced and they flailed about, seemingly without a care. But onlookers described their faces as pained. And it makes sense. Oh, yeah, it makes sense, because as they danced, they did not stop. They danced to the point of injury, seldom stopping to eat or drink or use the bathroom or take care of their bruised feet or the mounting fatigue they had. They just kept dancing.
Did they at least like have fun with it? Like you know what I mean? Like, did two of like, was it like dancing? Like, as
well,
if like,
me, to me,
I mean, obviously
continue.
There's no stereo.
I will try to describe this to you. It did not stop there. Over the course of the first month, 400 additional people joined the dancing, completely neglecting their family, their friends, their responsibilities, just
so weird.
Dancing.
I'm honestly just surprised that was that many people alive in one place.
Well, this is, I mean, there's another stat that when I was doing this research, there's another stat about the bubonic plague and stuff like that. And they were talking about how, you know, some towns, the population dropped from 40 to 20,000, right? So there, there were still a lot of people, even though it was a bad time. But, these 400 people just started dancing, completely neglecting everything in their life. They just danced and they went on dancing until, to the horror of onlookers, people just started collapsing, just dying right on the spot. And then the dancers around them would just dance over their bodies.
So that's creepy. That's some Midsommar-esque kind of horror, right?
I gotta know.
Where the dancing doesn't stop.
I gotta know what the vibe is. Like, are we loving this? Let me continue.
Or is there like middle-aged cocaine epidemic that just like ripped through some people? Like, so goddamn.
The city elders were like, what is going on? They were not amused by any of it. One of them, a man named Sebastian Brandt, who actually wrote a book called Ship of Fools.
Oh, he was the crab from the Kingdom of Atlantis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Except he was not into love. If anything, in his book, he wrote a chapter on the folly of dancing. So this dude was pissed when he saw the people in this town just openly in the street, just shaking and flailing and doing their thing. And So they said, you know, we got to get together and talk about this. He gathered the council and he said, look, we need to get them out of the streets. We need to do something. The dancers aren't spread throughout the city. This isn't like a citywide thing. They all seem drawn to certain places. And we don't know why, but we do know is they're causing huge traffic jams of people. We cannot handle this. This is
just like that Santa thing where all those Santas get like fucked up and like run through the streets in New York.
SantaCon?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a wild, whatever those things are, where people like a flash mob. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It feels like that
flash mob.
They probably just didn't know when to stop because they didn't have Twitter, so they were just like, right. "Are we good?"
They just kept going. And so Brant and the others were like, "We gotta put a stop to this." And so they tried to do so, but those who frolicked would not be removed. They simply kept dancing, even though it seemed as if the people themselves wished they could stop. At first, and this is going to what Alex was talking about or asking. They would cry and they would wail for help, but eventually entered sort of like a trance-like state and danced with a passion that prevented people from holding them down. Their bodies were just like flailing.
Hell no.
Maybe somebody left the like British computer on and then there's somebody who's playing like some sick, like some like Prince music or something through the
rhythm is going to get you, dude.
Yeah. Like through the computer into the olden days. And they're just like, what is that? I can't help it.
It's just too good.
First, they cry because they're like moved by it because they're like, they hit that part where he's like, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to talk about this thing called life. And they're like moved by that. And then when it starts, that's when they give in.
So Branton and the other city councilors consulted local doctors who, keeping with the medical wisdom of the time, concluded it must be overheating of the blood on the brain. And their passions are just flared up. That's why they're dancing this way.
That does cause your passions to flare. Mm-hmm. The overheating of your blood.
And the only way to solve it is to chop off your own penis or some fucking stupid ass cure.
So right. they figured if we could just, you know, if holding them down isn't going to do the trick, there's only one thing left that we can do.
Kill them.
More dancing. Oh.
More dancing. Yes. Perfect.
It's kind of like the idea of if your dad catches you smoking, he brings the whole box of cigarettes. Oh. He's like, you're going to have to smoke all. It's that vibe.
And I remember so, when Bobby Hill did that and then he just got addicted to cigarettes.
Yes. I was thinking the exact same thing.
All in the bathroom on that last one.
And so what the town did, this is amazing. What the town did, they cleared an open air area for the dancers to be moved to, commandeering guild halls, erecting an actual honest to God giant stage, bringing in performers, pipers, drummers, you name it. And they literally created a concert venue and herded them all into it.
And that was the origin Amazing. Of French electro music.
the theory here is insane. The theory was if they could get all these people to sort of turn their dancing up from like prom to rave, they would shake off the sickness.
They would wipe it out.
Yeah. So they hired this. They even like
the sickest DJ in France.
Yes. They hired all of these, obviously not DJs, but like whatever at the time was the music people.
They were like knights, but they had like digital displays on their faces.
Absolutely. And they hired these people to come in and dance and they just or play the music so that people would dance. And
unreal. Yeah. What a fucking solution. I want to be governed by these people.
And so they just kept them dancing and dancing and dancing. They even went as far as to hire the strongest people in town to hold up the dancers who were too weak so they could keep going.
Oh my God. Now,
what the fuck?
Do we know if they could communicate with these people or were they just,
like I said, at first it seemed like they didn't want to be dancing. Right. Like when they first started, when most people first started, they had the look of like, please help me. And then eventually sort of entered a trance and were just gone.
Gotcha.
Sort of like dancing machines.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're helping them by holding them up.
They hired strong men to come in and hold them up. This must have been an economic boom time to have that type of fucking money.
Strong I think it was money. Because for 2 months, this continued during
every
the
day?
Summer. Every day at its height,
Bacchanalian.
at its height, there is no actual information about how many people were actually dancing, but at its height, at least 15 residents were dying a day from strokes, heart attacks, and exhaustion.
Just from the dance party?
Just from this dance party, because they like didn't do anything else but dance.
Dude, literally even partying was killing people back then. That's nuts.
Were they a fucking poem. Vibing? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
well, we'll get to it. We'll get vibing. A poem in the city archives explained what happened next. And, you know, it's short, but I'll just a include poem. This and we'll give it to Mathis to read for the free
play
for
fucking me. Fucking poem.
Right there. It's not, right even, there? It's not okay. Even a poem. It's just a line.
Oh, in their madness, people kept up their dancing until they fell unconscious and many died.
Oh, that was... the right, well, the music pretty... of the line just dances yeah, off just, of the verse.
Yeah, that was just... it's less of a poetic feeling and more of just kind of a blunt statement.
Everyone went crazy and fucking danced and then they died. Whoa.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Whoa.
The city council realized, I think we may have goofed, and decided instead that at the end of the summer, boiled brains probably wasn't the problem. And the dancers were suffering from we would all associate in the Middle Ages the most obvious of answers, holy wrath.
Can we just take a minute and just recognize it took them 2 months to come to the conclusion that it was not boiling blood or
things
brain?
Were a lot slower.
Didn't have a lot going like, on day to day. I feel like
2 months to come to that conclusion. Damn.
If there was no dancing going on, they'd probably just be like tending to their like filthy stew. You know what I mean? Like there's probably not a lot else going on besides like, I don't know, going out and what do you even do? Like, are you a farmer as a peasant in a town?
I don't know, maybe a baker or a candlestick maker.
You're just
maker.
Like judging Belle from Beauty and the Beast all day.
Just looking
at young independent women and judging them silently from your windows.
Absolutely. That's the one of the few things married. You could do.
Isn't that right, guys? She should get married.
So they said holy wrath, right? It had to have been God. And this seemed to make sense to them because you see, this wasn't the first time this type of dancing plague had struck Europe.
Legend Abba tells. In the 80s. Oh, no.
Legend tells that in 1021, so we're already going back 500 years before this, in 1021, 18 people in the German town of Kolbig?
Nailed it.
Began dancing with wild abandon outside of a church, and the priest of that church was trying to perform mass on Christmas Eve.
Oh my God.
He was like, oh, hell no. He went outside, told them to stop, begged them to stop. They would not. So the priest cursed the dancers with a full year of dancing as punishment for their outrageous levity. He said to them, you must dance a full year. And according to the legend, it worked.
And they were like, you got it, dude.
Not until the following Christmas did the dancers regain control of their limbs. Exhausted and repentant, they fell into a deep sleep, some never waking up again.
They danced for a whole year?
That's the legend. Like,
that's what the priest said. Okay.
That's it.
Later.
God's command.
From 1247 to 1374, there were other cases of similar dancing. In one case, 200 people danced wildly on a bridge, collapsing it, killing every one of them.
Oh my God. Mothman was probably chilling off to the side, just like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, yeah, what the fuck are they doing?
In Germany and France and other nearby lowland regions, thousands of people died to this during this time period.
Thousands of people died to dancing.
Yeah. In large groups, they danced in agony for days or weeks. Many of them mentioning terrible visions, imploring priests to save them. So, of course, the council was like, this is some religious stuff. Oh, my God. Because they're actually nearby in this town was a saint, a shrine to Saint Vitus or Vitus. I'm not sure how you say that, but he is the he is a saint who now is associated with dance for obvious reasons. You'll see her in a minute. But one of his festivals that honored him was like you would go and like have a feast and dance in front of the saint's statue. Like that's the thing you would do. And so they obviously got to the point where, there's something holy about this. We got to like look for penance. And so in 1518, in the end of the summer, the council opted to take the holy road and forced a period of penance on those who were dancing. They banned music, dancing in public. The dancers were taken to the shrine of Saint Vitus, and like I said, he was, you know, they celebrate with feasts of dancing and stuff like that. And they were taken out of town to the sort of musty grotto in the nearby hills where this shrine was. And wow. Their feet were put into red shoes, which I believe is associated with the saint. I don't know why, but they were put into red shoes and they were led around figures of the saint.
Is that what the Elvis Costello song is about?
Red shoes.
And in the following weeks, most of them ceased their wild movements and the epidemic eventually came to an end.
They're like, I'm cooking my stew.
And soon this dancing plague, even though it had occurred, you know, off and on in different places throughout Central Europe for, I don't know, the last 200, 300 years, eventually ceased. By the 1600s, it was gone completely, never to be seen again.
That's what in the fucking world? I just want to like know what it was like to sit there and be like, you good, dude? And the guy's like, I just got this, I'm feeling this rhythm, dude. I can't stop. It's a devil's rhythm. Maybe they just were fucking tired of their fucking lives. You know what I mean? Like maybe this is all you could do as a fucking peasant is just to like go stand in the fucking street and dance your ass off. So you didn't like get killed by some fucking fungus.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's discuss what happened. We, as a, you know, a modern people, have no clue what caused this. There are guesses. There are ideas. But we don't know why it went on for so long. We don't know why it just suddenly stopped. There are so many unanswered questions to this. But it's in the historical record. It happened. There are countless examples of people just dancing wildly and then dying, like dropping dead. And no one quite understands. Obviously, at the time, the answer that I think satisfied everyone in the 1500s and 1600s and so on since then. At the time, the idea was, well, it's probably related to something holy, this holy wrath. It's a curse. It's some sort of religious thing. You know, they mentioned they were seeing demons. They, you know, it makes perfect sense to people living then. And even during the, you know, because that's also part of the Renaissance, right? That time period. So, you know, as they're becoming enlightened, even then they were like, well, that's the best explanation, right? They're like, it still seems the most logical.
God.
Yeah. It's a God thing. The biggest theory at the time was that people in the town failed to honor Saint Vitus and were cursed to dance. And it made sense to them because, you know, there was a shrine. They went to the shrine. It stopped. Right. It just made sense. However, since then.
Yeah. Sorry.
There have been scientific theories. What were you going to say?
All I can think of is like, you know, in Animorphs when the little like brain slugs go in your ear.
The yerks.
Yeah. 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 The yerks. Right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then they like control your mind.
Yeah.
All I can think of is that like, something like the Yerks came and then they got in the human heads and they were like, this shit is like, you know, like when you're in inside Pacific Rim, but there's only one guy. So you can't like drift compatibly with the brain. Yeah, and so they're just in there just like trying to be humans and just messing up their brains, doing like a little dance.
there are questions about, was it really even a dance? Like, would we today consider it a dance?
Yeah, what the hell does their music even sound like, right?
That's it's just like
because at the time, when you think about dancing, it's like, they do that, you know, like, I'm trying to do the thing like you see in movies where they do the, like, really crappy dance or like hold their hands out but don't touch each other, that kind of thing. And I don't imagine it was like that because they talk about flailing and like moving.
Well, I don't imagine peasants had that kind of training either.
You say peasants. I'm picturing that scene from Titanic where they're inside like spinning around in a circle, holding hands with people in rags. I don't know.
I mean, worse than that. So there's a lot of attempts at scientific explanation. The one thing everyone does agree on, both old and new theories, is that these people were victims, right? They writhed, they screamed, they begged for help until they entered a trance-like state. And it's very obvious they didn't want to be dancing. So, besides a curse, what could have caused it?
I'm sorry. This is reminding me, I'm not gonna cut you off, but this is just like, it reminds me of a Junji Ito, like, horror. Imagine waking up one morning and just your body is dancing. You're like, help, help. And like,
yes,
the people outside are like calling you in a weird way. It's like that hole, like the hole that fits you almost, that other Junji Ito horror story.
Yeah.
God, that's what it feels like to me. It's just like, oh, it's God. Weird.
It's bizarre and creepy. And it's also one of those things that as you talk about it, it does sound unbelievable, right? Like, it doesn't sound like this is just a thing that happens because we have no context. No, none of us just get up and begin to dance
stop
until we die.
I'm picturing like Mick Jagger and David Bowie dancing in the street. You know what I mean?
I
like, that's
that
what
video
I'm picturing.
So much.
But I mean, okay, like, do you remember Spice? Or whatever that stuff's called, K2. Remember that biz? It was like kind of trendy for a little while.
Yes.
Like fake weed.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
So like one of the things that would happen when you smoked fake weed, that people like, there was this whole thing about like blood coming out of your face and out of your nose and stuff. But then also there was this thing, I think it's fake weed, where people would just be like, they'd like see someone, just like some cops would roll up and they'd see a dude just like standing there, like just kind of like frozen on the street, like he just all of a sudden he just shut down, you know.
Oh God.
And I, you know, like if I feel like peasants in the Middle Ages were probably pretty bored, you know, maybe they found some sort of like fucking dirty ass little goofy little, you know,
designer drug.
You know what I'm talking about? Some little mushroom somewhere in a corner, fucking making all sorts of nasty chemicals.
One dude had one good trip and then he was just like, yo, you gotta try this shit.
That fake weed has rat poison in it. I don't know what the deal is with this shit, but
well, let's talk about that. We'll make that theory number one. So one of the more famous theories that was a theory for a while, like this was the number one theory for a while, was that the town folk had ingested ergot, which is a species of mold that grows on damp rye and produces a chemical brain reaction that induces terrifying hallucinations and violent twitching. It is actually the substance used to originally make LSD-25.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
And they if you're got up and danced in the street?
Well,
again, peasant dancing, flailing, you know.
I mean, if you are a fan of the Salem Witch Trials, one of the big theories there is that ergot was linked to possibly why all that went down, right? It's actually a surprisingly common thing to have happened in the like 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th century. Like, people would just get this ergot on their food and then they would just go loopy. It was so common. It was actually called St. Anthony's fire. Because you would start seeing things, and, you know, a lot of people believed that they would have these visions. Like, you know, most when you're on this, you would see like, you know, you have altered states of consciousness, or you would see crazy shit, and you could almost assume that's why they were shouting about stuff. And then they would enter this trance, right? And also, apparently, it makes you afraid of the color red, which could be associated with the red shoes.
Huh.
I don't know. But
what the fuck?
That's
the one
weird
thing that never
thing
made sense from this theory. The one thing that never made sense is this, like every other drug, eventually runs through your system. So why would they have been dancing for weeks and weeks and weeks, especially if they weren't eating things?
I mean, the obvious answer is gotta be like, just they got on like a fucking Zag and like monkey see, monkey do. Like, I remember that story of those Australian family that just like suddenly just like was like, oh shit, we're being fucking followed. Throw your phones. Go, go, yes. go. Like, yes, the brain yes. can trick you into doing shit. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was.
I mean, great question.
Like, if I saw everybody dancing, like, would I start dancing? I don't know. I don't know how strong-willed I am. If I walked into town.
We will talk about that. We will. That is another theory. There, because, again, it makes so little sense. It has to be these kinds of theories, right? So another theory by John Waller was extreme psychological mass psychosis. Much like in 1374, when people had, you know, broken out and dancing, the time period had appalling harvests. It was the advent of syphilis. There was leprosy. The plague had been just ravaging the hell out of Europe. It was a rough time to be alive. And, you know, all you have to do is think of today and the last year and how people are getting more and more angry and angsty and argumentative yeah. and wildly combative and all sorts of, and this is just being told to wear masks. So imagine living in a world where, like, you wake up one day and you poop your guts out and die. The end. Like, that's it. It was that bad of a time.
Yeah.
So
Jesus. Waller, that would just
that would be such a rough way to go down. You'd be like, I think I need some yeah. water, and then you just like be dead.
Waller theorizes that because all these dancing plagues occurred at roughly the same time and roughly the same area for that, you know, little short span of a couple hundred years, that the people had this idea of a curse planted into their mind. And this is a statement for Alex to read.
Every so often, when physical and mental distress rendered people more than usually suggestible, the specter of the dancing plague could quickly return. All it then took was for one or a few poor souls believing themselves to have been subject to the curse to slip into a spontaneous trance. Then they would unconsciously act out the part of the accursed, dancing, leaping, and hopping for days on end. Wow.
And so maybe they just sort of like got themselves riled up into this curse. And because of everything that was going on, it was, you know, it was this mass psychosis. They all sort of were so worked up and so completely stressed out that they snapped. And then because one person did it, everyone else was just kind of like, yeah. And they just like had the rave. They were like, F it, let's go. And because life was so bad, they just danced without abandon until they died.
You know, like, it sounds crazy. It sounds insane. But then I think about those televangelical priests that come out and they're just like,
and the people bam, who just like,
bam, yeah. and people just like go down and he just like wipes them out like Sauron at the beginning of Lord of the Rings with his little thing. They're just going down. And I, you know, I'm not trying to talk against anybody's specific beliefs, but, you know, not every priest out there that's preaching a certain religion is necessarily, you know, as adherent to that religion as they might say. And you see some things like, you know, people get caught up in that stuff, or like where they like whip out the snake during church or anything yeah. like that, or they speak in tongues like that shit. It's not that it's particularly true or false. It's just that humans have this sort of like surprising tendency to like, oh yeah, I'm on the zone, baby. Like, ha ha ha. Like, you know what I mean? It's weird.
Well, that's actually what the third theory is. It's the one I think I tend to believe most, because, you know, the mass psychosis, that's the assumption that everyone was just like, yeah, right?
Yeah, losing
it. I think the third theory is probably my favorite one. And this is a, you know, the case of classic spirit possession that you were just talking about, Alex, which is, you know, these people act as if their souls are being taken over. It's like watching someone on TV pretend to like have a ghost speak through them or something. U.S. anthropologist Erica. Oh, poor Erica. I'm sorry about this. Bourguignon. She's kind of like parallel to Waller and has written about it this way. And Mathis, this big hunk of text is for you.
Oh, I love being a big, thick text boy. Oh, my goodness. All right. Every so often when physical and mental distress.
Oh, that's the previous one.
Oh, shit. Where am I? Oh, raised. Raised in an environment.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Sorry. Raised in an environment of belief in which spirit possession is taken seriously primes people to enter a disassociative mental state where normal consciousness is disabled. People then act according to culturally prescribed ideas of how the possessed should behave. This is what happened in European convents before the early 1700s, when nuns would writhe, convulse, foam at the mouth, make obscene gestures and propositions, climb trees, and meow like cats. That's fucking wild to think of a nun just foaming at the mouth and like hissing at me from a tree.
Honestly,
that tickles me.
I get it.
Yeah, I'm feeling it lately. Their behavior seemed strange, but the nuns lived in communities that encouraged them to obsess about sin and were steeped in a mystical supernaturalism. Those who became convinced that demons had entered their souls were prone to fall into disassociative states in which they did exactly what theologians and exorcists said the diabolically possessed do. In such cases, the possession trance also spread to witnesses who shared the same theological fears.
You can see why I enjoy this theory, because it's pretty much how I view everything on this show, where I'm like, we've been told that's what aliens look like, so everyone sees a gray every damn time, like that vibe. And this is this during this time period, you know, everyone knew what being tortured by demons was like, or everyone had that fear. And so when they saw this happening, and when people in town were like, it must be that you didn't, you know, praise this saint enough, demons are here, people just like got it in their system. You know, like the people when Alex was talking about when they go to the church and they're like, shimbada-bada-da, right? And then they're like, you've cured me. It's like nothing happened here. You just got it in your head that something happened.
You just you just fell down because you felt fucking excited.
Yeah. And that's the same thing here. It's because of all that stress in their life, all these things happening. You know, there's all these outside factors, and the way they dealt with it, it wasn't, you know, a mass hysteria. It might have been like one or two people had a break, and then everyone else was like, I'm in. Like, it very well could have been like that. Who knows?
I got another theory. Okay. What if, have you guys ever done a drum circle?
No.
So it's a pretty hippy dippy activity a lot of the time, the drum circle, but you get in one, everybody's got their little thing, and then you start like a little jam, and then like everybody's just sort of like doing their little tech, 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 tech. And then you start to like get into the zone, and then suddenly it's like 3 hours later. You know what I mean? I feel like maybe they could have just like all like got into the vibe of this, like we're dancing,
and then suddenly instead of it being like 3 hours later, just suddenly you're dead.
I mean, if you're tired, if you're not strong enough for the rhythm of life, you know what I mean? Like if it's coursing through you and it takes your essence away, you know, like I could see
you deserve that essence in the first place.
But maybe they're just on some sort of like super flow state, Zag, where they're just like,
I've never had a super flow state except for Civilization VI, when you play as the Kree.
Yeah.
And it's literally just this drum, like, and 12 hours later, I'm still bopping my head till it's great.
If you got strong men to hold you up, if you got the finest DJs better in the land of France doing their sidechain beats all day and all night in the musty grotto of dance, I'm there.
So wrapping up Erica's thing, basically, she sees this kind of like, it makes sense and the reason why it ended so quickly, right? Because, you know, these people are so devout or maybe emotionally frail. Who knows what happened? You know, it was a bad time period. These were broken people that they could have felt compelled to dance for days or weeks based on their faith. And then it also explains why when they were given faith as an answer and they went to the temple, it stopped. Right. Like it wraps up nicely that way.
Man, if that was it, I would imagine they would have wrapped that shit up real quick. They're like, you know what? Actually, I'm tired. Like,
I guess people just walked around the statue a bunch, and then it over time, people just stopped.
That is insane. They stopped dancing.
It's just, it's fucking, it's scary to think about. Like I said, it's got that kind of obscene horror vibe.
There's many books about this. Waller, I believe, even has a book you can find on Amazon, but I think it's like college book prices. I think it things like 50 bucks. God. It's ridiculous. But there's a lot of books about this. It isn't the only type of weird plague that happened in Europe during this time period. Because if you recall, the Middle Ages. I mean, like, I think we all need to have the history lesson of, like, after the fall of the Roman Empire, it was like they had running water.
They almost had, like, the internet. Like, it just felt like
literally,
like, you watch Hercules, you know, I know that's the Greeks, but, like, you watch Hercules and you see, like, the, like, like some guy, he's like selling like a concession stand, but it's like, I get it. It's like being at a Laker game, but it's like in ancient Greece. And then I go to like a museum and I dead ass see like a snack stall from ancient Greece. That's like 50% off today only. And you're like, oh my God.
It's almost like, it's almost like history repeats itself. In the
Colosseums and straight up the Colosseums, there would be dudes who walk up and down the aisle and literally, you know, be like, get your, I don't know, bread here. They would,
he throws it like 700 feet to like some kids.
Like, over here,
get your spiced beef jerky. They would have
meanwhile,
all
some
that
poor
stuff.
Bastards being ripped apart by lions down as the main attack.
Call those Christians.
Yeah. And so they, you know, during that time period, Rome and, you know, even it's kind of like a cyclical thing, right? Like you were saying, Matthew's like, Egypt, there was a height of the Egyptian Empire, and then it faded away. And then over time, there was the height of the Roman Empire, and that faded away. And during that time period where everything faded away was, in this case, the medieval period in the Middle Ages before the Enlightenment. And it was bad. Like, it was, you know, we wipe our butt with our left hand and shake with the right kind of bad.
Right.
Like you know, that's why left-handed was a bad thing, right? Being left-handed was bad because you used that hand to wipe your butt. That's what it was
people
like.
Are
it was
so
that kind of
stupid,
life.
Man. How do we let this happen over and over again?
I don't know. You know what's scary, man? And I'm sure Jesse probably feels similarly is that, like, as somebody who was like went to school and like majored in history and shit, it's like watching, like knowing that history of all the empires coming and then watching America hit that 250 year mark and just watching us struggle with the same exact shit that caused every empire previous to topple. Because America's an empire. We can call us a country, but we're very much an empire in a lot of ways. I mean, the way the Romans treated their substates are the same way we treat our states. You agree to be part of our empire and then you have your state's rights and that kind of thing.
I was watching
crazy to watch.
I was watching that QAnon documentary on HBO and I was just like, oh my God. Like, this is just really like, it's literally like crazy superstitions. Like, it's literally just the same thing as, like, you know, wearing red shoes and going to church. It's the same shit. It's like as based in fact as any of that. But if we hit $10,000 on our Patreon, we too will consume ergot and go out into the streets of your small English town.
I will not do that.
I'm afraid. I don't want to do that either.
But so either way, those are our best guesses. There are many other theories, all of them wild in, like, you know, the possession sort of aspects but there's no real information on these events. You know, most of it happened during the Middle Ages. There was piss poor record keeping during the Middle Ages. You know, this type of dancing mania, you know, hasn't appeared in the last 500 years. Only appeared during this time period of the Middle Ages. It wasn't happening in Rome, for example. So, you know, no one truly knows what caused this. But for a time during the darkest part of Europe's past, even dancing was a plague.
Unbelievable.
That's nuts.
Just like what the laughing story. Plagues too. Like, how can you keep, what's so funny that you're laughing for 2 months? I've never heard anything that funny. I know nowadays they're like, you know, all jokes have been done, but maybe back then they just weren't. And people were just like, oh my God, that is hilarious. Other side. Are you serious? Are you shitting me? That's genius.
Roads are so new.
The first guy who was like, and boy, are my arms tired. People died from that joke.
Yes, that here was the one flying.
Literal the deaths. Countless people died. It's terrible.
Oh my God.
There's a Monty Python sketch about that.
that joke killed means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal.
What a story. So that is our mystery. Still never
Thank
know.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I never heard of that. That was nuts. That's just, like I said, it's got such interesting horror flavors to it. I enjoyed that. So thank you so much, Jesse, for doing that. Now we've got to go do what Alex said. And we're going to go do
some
extra.
And dance in your town, assuming you're French.
Soon, when we all have our vaccine, that's how we're going to perform from now on. Yeah. We just
the next 2 million live show is going to be fucking wild. Let me promise you that.
We all just take a little ergot before we get on stage next live show.
I'm going to dump my knees in my own pee before I get on stage this time.
Yeah, it'll be a spiritual experience.
I want to let you know, I'm really looking forward to our next live show, mostly because we'll have a new memory of a live show, and I hope it's better than your previous one, Alex.
I don't have to keep going back to the same pissing on my own pants story.
But you didn't. You didn't.
I just slipped in somebody else's piss and shit. I was peeing, you know, like that's the thing that sucked about it the most is that it was just like a release for me. I've been waiting to do it. I wasn't gonna do it on stage. I got in there real quick and then I like got like full on Charlie Browned by life. Full on Charlie Browned.
It's so gross.
I can't wait to go to the next live show and have the guy be like, I was the guy who said I wouldn't turn around or else I would have peed on you.
Speaking of live show, like I don't want to say nothing, but I'm gonna say something. Plans are in the works. And if we get the venue, it's exciting. Y'all.
I would love to be what he's talking about. I would love to do a show there. I've always wanted to my whole life.
Never been.
And it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. Been, so, you know,
yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
Could be anywhere, but like I'm very excited.
But I have wanted to do it my whole life. So
all I'm saying is
narrows it down.
As the pandemic slowly winds down, hopefully, fingers crossed, please. Make some October plans to be in LA, you know, end of October. Just like make some plans.
God, it'll be 2 years. You know, just make some plans. Since our last live show.
Yeah. Just, you know, make some plans. Just think about October. It's a ways off.
Block out late October.
Let a Chaluminat know, you know, reach out.
Let a Chaluminat know. We got to go speak to some other Chaluminats in a chill mini.
I'll show you guys some actual good candy too. When you guys come to the show, you'll see.
Yeah, I got some bit of honeys. I'll hand out bit zigzags of honeys to everybody.
Eat some zigzags.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to, you can head over to the Patreon. Like Alex said, you can jump on in and go listen to the minisode. That's what we're going to go
so
do.
Good. It's such a good
and
value.
Next week, Betty and Barney Hill begins. We'll see you then. Ooh, bye, everybody. Ooh. Hey, are you a fan of The Office, Radio Rental, or perhaps just a fan of Rainn Wilson? Then you're going to want to check out Dark Air with Terry Carnation. Dark Air with Terry Carnation was created by Rainn Wilson and Aaron Lee, and Rainn Wilson stars as the man himself, Terry Carnation, a late-night talk show radio host of Dark Air, which deals with bizarre topics, outrageous callers, and other fun mysteries. Dark Air with Terry Carnation is a behind-the-scenes look into Terry Carnation's return to the late-night AM radio waves after a three-year hiatus, which started around the time of his wife's death. You'll hear from a caller who is living with an opinionated spirit. Another caller shares details about her dog that can see ghosts with his lazy eye. And one particular call will send shivers down your spine. Is the mysterious caller Terry's late wife? Be open to all possibilities when listening to Dark Air with Terry Carnation. Dark Air with Terry Carnation is a darkly funny new podcast from Audio Boom and has an all-star cast. In addition to Rainn Wilson, Dark Air with Terry Carnation stars Karen Sani from Deadpool, Al Madrigal from The Daily Show, and Yvette Nicole Brown from Community. There will be an Office reunion on an upcoming episode with Angela Kinsley, Kate Flannery, and Creed Bratton making guest appearances. And Dark Air with Terry Carnation premieres April 1st. And Dark Air with Terry Carnation premieres April 1st and releases new episodes every Thursday. Go get your listen on.